Jenny, I saw that you were on the line, and the minute I started the recording, you split. You must have been going to remind me to do that. And thank you so much. Thank you so much. Sometimes it takes a team to do the simplest thing. And let us all remember that. Remember Yeshua's final and ultimate commandment was to love our neighbors as ourselves. It doesn't mean that we have to identify with them or see them only as ourselves. That would be kind of narcissistic. What it means is that we work with them knowing that the life we share is the life we share, and we can't do anything ultimately, completely, and in a fulfilled way by ourselves. We are, from the inception of our being to the ultimate fulfillment of our possibility, we're a team. We're a family. We are a human community, loving and serving all the other communities of life and joining in our unity to make life better. And that's really what he was directing that message toward. As we do that, we can begin and only begin to see the presence of God among us. You know, we try to see God as some kind of patriarch that sits on a throne. Well, I'm not saying you do or people in this group do, but so many people do. They want to see him as a divine version of Santa Claus that receives our prayers as wish lists and on special occasions grants us our wishes, grants us our prayers, or intervenes on our behalf. The fact is, God is so great. The love of God is so enormous. We cannot see it through the eyes of only ourselves. We have to look through the eyes of others in order to even begin to see the face of God. And so the great gift of loving others as ourselves is we can use their eyes, their hearts, their perceptions, their experiences in combination with ours to at least begin to glimpse the face of God and to see the great love that God has for all of humankind. And we can only have that expanded ability if we include others in the larger definition of who we collectively are as people, that we can actually be there and live our lives one for another. And with that thought, I would like to invite anyone who wants to speak onto the line, because this is why I like to have callers come in early. It's for a number of reasons. One is that we're waiting for everybody to show up, and it just makes sense that time where we're waiting. It's kind of like in other churches where they get together in the beginning and they sing and share praise and offerings, and they have their community time as they're waiting for the room to settle down into a genuine worship service. And so our time expands in the same way. But also, your input gives me a larger spectrum of experience, of perception, of need. You give me your eyes, your voice, your ears to see, hear, and speak through, so that what I bring to this becomes enlarged by your presence. So for many reasons, I encourage you to come in. You just press *6 and then press 1. And you come on the board, and I'm here. Someone's here from area code 321, and hello.
Hey.
Hey.
You reminded me of something I really love learning about. You know, looking back to the time of like Socrates and Plato, and the difference that they had in, you know, the effect on Western philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Plato kind of made it so that we have an idealized form. It sort of inserted everything a little bit differently than just looking at it with an instant perception. Sorry about that. There's some traffic nearby. it made it so that I get a much better capacity to just look at things for what they are, a much better idea instead of looking at Heavenly Father as often some pink cloud realm, so to speak.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, the thing is, Scott, Plato was a great philosopher, and he made his own great contributions to the history of human consciousness and thinking, but I think most especially in the creative realms, because he taught us how to envision the world that we want and use that as guidance for then going about to create it. But what he did was misinterpreted by too many people to justify their sense of separation from the world. The fact is, God is not separate from the world. And ideals, everything we want is already here. We just have to have the clear vision to open our eyes to see it, extract it, and make it so. It's kind of like the stone that was put in front of Michelangelo. And someone asked him, how in the world, Michelangelo, do you see an angel in there? And he said, well, I just take away everything that isn't the angel. In other words, he didn't try to find the angel in other worlds and other places. He found the angel within the stone. And this is true of ourself as well. There is this child of God in you, in each of us. And as we go through the experience of living, we build up a lot of baggage. And we can build up a lot of layers of misconception about who we are and judgments about the world and judgments about life. And really, all repentance is just taking off the baggage that didn't work, the misconceptions that led us astray, and get back to the basic of who we are, which is love and a child of light, child of the Father. And it's really that simple. The perfection is already embedded in nature. And those who have taught us to look for it within nature have actually served the evolution of science and the evolution of real performance in the world more than those who idealize first and then go out to try and create an emulation of what they idealize. The fact is, the ideal is already here. It's like the angel in the stone. We just have to eliminate everything that's not the ideal. And by doing that, pretty soon, you're just standing in yourself in the light of God. And isn't that a wonderful place to be?
So in the illustration of the lemniscate, that starts with God, existence as reality, reality as experience, you know, truth. And then the other part, practical understanding, application, workability, greater truth. When I, you know, work at that, it sort of gives me an opportunity to be more, a little more oriented to interception.
Uh-huh. That's true.
So I never thought of Plato as more, so much of a positive thing because it created so much of a perspective of idealized form that clouds perspective in Western philosophy.
Well, actually, Scott, we don't want to judge him. He was an incredible genius and a very formative person. It really isn't he who was to blame for what was done with his teaching. For example, look at the work that Yeshua, the truth he released upon the world, and then it's been distorted in a thousand ways. That's not his fault. It's the fault of us who don't know who we are, who think that we have to change something in order to perfect it, that we have to separate ourselves from what we didn't understand, when it may be that it's we who need to have greater understanding. And, of course, this is what we do in Christ's Blessing, is we take you closer back to the truth that he released upon the planet, which really didn't need doctrines to encase it in. So that's really what I'm saying, Scott. You know, it's what we need to look at is a tendency in human nature that runs away with its own desire to judge, have an experience, and then be very narcissistic about that experience and think that's the only experience anyone else could have. That's where we need to look at the world through the eyes of others and not just ourselves. So,
thank you for reframing that.
I'm going to have to call this right now, Scott. It could be a whole seminar. But good input, and I'm glad you're thinking along these lines. Okay, we have a call from Francis or area code 413.
Hi, Glenda, it's Heidi.
Heidi, hi.
Hi. Glenda, there was something you talked about last week, and I got a little sad, and I'm sure it's a lack of understanding. And you were talking about letting go, and then you said you were going to talk more about another word to help us understand
mm-hmm.
it better. And then in my silly humanity, I get disappointed and can have little tears where I'm like, I just fail at this. I just fail. I try so hard. But then I'm like, okay, Yeshua. One of my words for God is Amo. And teach me. I'll just stay open, and I'm willing to do the footwork. You just keep showing me how. And you're often such a guidance and opening, love without end, and et cetera. So if you have any more enlightenment on the how, on that letting go or whatever else you were going to say today.
Oh, yes, that's what I'm trying to get to right now.
Yeah, and I'll just keep listening, and I know.
Okay, Heidi.
We'll show the way. Thanks so much.
Okay, I think you'll enjoy it.
Okay.
It's the next step. Actually, we're going to do some word clearing. We did last time about forgiveness.
Yeah.
And by the way, the ultimate in forgiveness, just letting go. And you see, by letting go, by forgiving, we're taking away a little piece of the stone that's not the angel. That's all we're doing, so that eventually, bit by bit, just to use the analogy of Michelangelo, bit by bit we take away part of the stone that's not the angel, and eventually the angel will be there glorious. So sometimes we have to let go of even things we were excited about because they're not working. It doesn't mean we can't come back to it later on when we have more understanding, maybe more ability, or more support from others. But we do not want to waste our precious life energy struggling and striving over something that's not working. And it may involve just forgiving ourselves or the thing itself so that we can let go and get on with what does work for us. So there are two more callers, and I'm going to take a quick call because I do want to get onto I will not get onto our message if I don't do it right now. So let's just get on with our message, and you guys remember to get in earlier next time, okay? I do want to hear from you. I do want your input. But what I wanted to talk to you about today is the next step, and it's the next word we want to clear, and that's the word of conditions and conditionality. You know, we find the world very conditional. And sometimes we rebel against those conditions. Sometimes we find them very frustrating and annoying. And so when someone makes a reference to the fact that God has unconditional love, we are thrilled in our heart and say, yes, yes, indeed. Only God can be unconditional. And what we're doing when we go back and forth into that dialogue of opposites, not liking conditions, and then comforting ourselves with the unconditional acceptance of God, what we're doing is we're actually building a judgment. And none of it is actually accurate. So let's do a big cancel clear on the things we have thought and said about conditions and unconditionality. And let's start fresh, okay? Conditions can actually be very, very positive and also very protective. For example, would you want to take on a job without conditions of employment? One being your hours, what you'll be paid, that you'll be respected, that you won't be working in dangerous conditions, et cetera, et cetera. So, of course, you would want, and as an employer, would you not want conditions of employment, such as someone does the job you ask them to do, and they report their success and their accomplishments to you in an appropriate manner? Okay, now let's look at our health. Would we not want a doctor to assess our health according to the actual condition of our body? Would you want him to just throw in a bunch of nonsense and that we couldn't understand? Isn't it really, really comforting to know that there are certain states, there are certain conditions like vitamin D3 levels that are necessary for maintaining health, and we can actually get blood tests to determine, do we have an adequate D3 level? That's just one minor example. Conditions basically allow us to define areas of life or action or expectation so that we can work with it. There are conditions in life. And for the most part, we actually desire, need, and flourish within appropriate supportive conditions. And really, as a matter of fact, there is not much of life we would want to have be unconditional. But there comes a point in our thinking, in our spiritual growth, in our life, our heart, and our communion with God, where we have to confront the fact that we cannot define everything. No one person can. And the people that try to become the ones we sort of call control freaks. Sorry for the derogatory implications there. God bless them. They're trying. Most of them have found conditions very comforting, and they just want to extend conditions that everybody can be comfortable in, and they feel it's their job to do it. Okay, God bless them on their way, but we know, we've learned, we can't put a condition on everything. There are some things that have to be open to free will. They have to be open to choice. We have to allow for growth, and we have to allow for the unexpected opportunity that life can bring us, sometimes in challenging ways, but sometimes in the most beautiful way. And as we contemplate the unconditional side of life, we find a very special form of freedom to explore our talents, explore opportunities, and how we can make life better. Now, love is one of those forces in life that rides both sides of the fence. It can be very conditional, and for most people, I have to tell you, it is. For most people, love has a very explicit definition of what it looks like and what they expect from it. And if you don't do that, you don't love them. Now, we have, I think most of us have realized that that really, really restricts the greater power of love to be a miraculous force in our life that can bring peace and community and greater understanding to this world. And of course, Yeshua lived and died to prove that point, that love is greater than any limiting condition. It's greater than anything you can define. We cannot put a boundary or a box on love. And we move into unconditional love as we learn to respect the free will of others and to know that, yes, I really don't want my neighbor rummaging through my garage and borrowing my tools whenever he wants to, but I do really, really wish him to have a wonderful life made up of his own free choices, to have the job he wants, to go on the vacation he wants, to earn the amount of money he wants. In other words, there are conditions, and there are no conditions. We actually live in a world that needs both. Without falling willy-nilly into unconditional mush, where we stop thinking, we stop being responsible, we stop orienting ourselves toward responsible duties, but then we have conditions on the other side where we actually go to work at a certain time. We work for an appointed hour, number of hours of the day to serve other people. And in that service, we respect the conditions that they put upon us, our employees, the people we serve. If someone purchases something from us, they have a right to expect it in a reasonable amount of time and not a year or two from now. Do you see what I mean? There are conditions in life, and then there's the side of life which has to be governed freely. Now, my feeling, as we get to the highest level we can move to in human consciousness, is that we stop pushing our will on others. We only fall into agreements. I said agreements prematurely. We only fall into conditional realities by agreement. In other words, we agree with our employer or the school that our children goes to or the community in which we live. And it was basically that principle on which the United States was founded, and that is a government of the people, by the people, for the people. In other words, we form our mutual agreements to determine what conditions we expect and require of others and share. But then we also allowed for the unconditional side of life when we set up a freedom of religion from government, no interference from these conditions, knowing that our relationship with God must be unconditional, because we're lucky if we ever can see God through 100 faces and even then only see a piece of God. We have to be free to explore our relationship with God without being told by someone else how to do it. And more than that, just as we experience in the blessing, when Yeshua gives you a blessing, he passes his love through you freely. The Holy Spirit comes to you energetically, freely, to work with you according to your needs, your desires, and what's right for your life. I don't do anything to configure what would happen. That would be unthinkable to me to do that. But I'm delighted to be a conduit through which his love and the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God can pass into a human frequency of energy. You know, everything's energetic. And as it passes into a human frequency of energy, it increases the likelihood that you will receive more. And then as you receive it, allow it to become all that it can be. Sometimes this energy will challenge your boundaries, because it will move you into new places, new experiences, new perceptions, new opportunities. Because remember, this energy, God's grace and the love of Christ, comes from the unconditional side of existence. And we praise it, we receive it, and we find it the grace of our life, that it can be given to us. But it knows what to transform, how to lift us up, and how to bring about miracles of healing in our life. And it has its own ways of doing it. Sometimes if we place too much in the way of conditions on unconditional energy, we can restrict that energy. This is why at the end of our prayers we say, thy will be done, not mine. Because we release. Well, in fact, if you look at the Lord's Prayer and the way it's built toward first forgiving, in other words, releasing, letting go, and then expressing to God the fact that we have conditions. In other words, we need food. We need our daily bread, whatever that might be, whether it's food or money or a housing or friends or whatever our daily bread might be. We need a community of people to love and support, who love and support us. In other words, we express our needs. And then as we pass through that prayer, we move into an unconditional acceptance of the will of God to have a transformative effect upon our life. And we sublimate ourselves and submit ourselves and surrender ourselves, not to release all of the conditions we have in life, but to release ourselves to unconditional possibilities that are greater than anything we have envisioned. And so that kind of summarizes what I wanted to clear on that, because we need to look at both conditions and unconditions as a positive thing, each having their place in our life, each being appropriate in relation to respective experiences, those which are conditional and those which need to be unconditional, where we can explore the greater possibilities of being a child of God. Sometimes it means continuing with a lesson. Sometimes it means just surrendering to the will of God, who knows better than we can possibly know what needs to come next for us. But we surrender in this prayer and in this blessing that the will of God be done. So with that, I want to move us promptly into the blessing, because we'll be running late in relation to those who are remotely joining us. Let us be seated if you're going to receive it, feet on the ground, your head comfortably, the top of your head pointed toward heaven. Relaxed, open in your heart, ready to receive. Allow your attention to fall into your heart and begin your prayer. Let your prayer go on for about 3 minutes. I'll let you know when the energy conveyance is done, and then go rest and receive, assimilate, and be nourished for at least 7 minutes after that. Let us receive and offer our invocation to Yeshua. We thank you, O Lord, Son of God, Brother of Man, for being our connection between the earthly realm of seemingly never-ending conditions into the heavenly realm where all is possible. You are the one who has molded love to accommodate both realms, and to bring greater miraculous possibilities into the world of conditions in which we live. We thank you for bringing the Holy Spirit into our life, that transformations may occur beyond all conditions, beyond all expectations, that we may be healed, enlightened, brought into a state of peace, restoration, or love, according to our needs, according to the heart of our being. We thank you for this blessing we are about to receive, and we accept it for the greater good of our life and the lives of all we touch. Amen. The conveyance of energy is complete, but the blessing continues. Now go and rest, assimilate, be nourished by it, and have a wonderful week. Through the grace of God, I'm so glad you were here, and I look forward to being with you again. Bye-bye for now.